your eyes to the skies. It's time for Spaced Out on 95 PFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.
Stardome.
Are you there, David?
I am here.
What's going on, mate?
What's going on? Heaps.
It seems like there's outer space news left, right and centre.
It's almost like we're flying around in space.
The problem I find with the show is either there's so much I'm not sure what to choose, and then sometimes there's hardly anything because we all did it last time, or it's just sort of dropped away. So famine or feast.
But is it? Can we probably just make it up, because most people listening won't have a clue what we're talking about a little bit?
Oh, Oumuamua.
What?
Is that the one you're talking about?
Oh, no, yeah, let's get into it. You're right, that's what
so,
we should do.
Oumuamua.
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 Can we all do it together?
A Hawaiian name that was given to this cigar-shaped asteroidal thing. It's been 2017, it was zoomed past the sun. It went extremely fast. That was because it's not part of our solar system. It's an interstellar object.
What language is that, by the way, David?
Hawaiian.
Right on. Oh, it makes sense. So it was seen from that mint telescope they got out there.
the first one that we're certain that we've seen. The only way you can tell is by figuring out its orbit. Since then, a number of people have done a lot of theoretical work and so on to figure out more about objects like this, and they're pretty sure now that, in fact, there are many of them out there. And by many, I mean a number with 26 zeros to it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
That's many.
So it is orbiting.
Trillion objects like that.
It's orbiting something?
Going around the galaxy.
Okay.
So between the stars in our galaxy, 100 trillion of these. If you were to get all of those into one place, that would equal about 300,000 suns.
Okay. Can you have an object like that flying through space that is not on an orbit? Not, you know, like in the galaxy or the universe? Or?
Well, I mean, they all must have come from somewhere. I mean, something like this most likely was ejected from its home, its parent solar system, early on when it was formed. Okay, so you can have large planets that will send debris like this zooming in close to its home star, and then that flings it out into interstellar space. That they are orbiting these objects, but they're orbiting inside our galaxy. So they're going around the center of our galaxy, just like our sun is.
Okay.
So, but they're not orbiting in an individual star. So you think, you know, with all these trillions of them around, it must happen all the time. Well, they reckon that one of these would probably hit the sun about once every 30 years.
Okay.
Each year about two would probably do a similar thing to what Oumuamua did, that is to go between the sun and Mercury.
Yes.
So they're going to start looking for these a bit more now that know a bit more about them. They've seen one of them, they're going to try and see if there are more. But if you just take Oumuamua on itself, the chances are it will never encounter another star. The chances of it actually encountering another star what is longer than the age of the current age of the universe.
Okay.
Okay, so there's lots of stars, there's lots of these, but in fact, you know, space is just so incredibly large.
Agreed.
That things just keep on passing by each other. I thought that's pretty amazing, 100 trillion of them, and we've seen one of them.
Amazing. Now, cotton seeds have germinated on the dark side of the moon, but they died.
So many questions.
Is that just not because it's so cold on that side?
That's exactly right. There's a very basic experiment. They had various seeds in a container with a camera inside to see what would happen. But the trouble is they didn't have a long-life battery attached. So when the moon went into shadow on the far side, which it is at the moment, we're seeing a full moon right now. The face of the moon towards us is in full sunlight.
I can feel it.
That's why there was that lunar eclipse in the other part of the world last night, which we couldn't see. On the far side of the moon, it's completely dark at the moment, and so it gets very, very, very cold by that, about minus 150 degrees.
That'll kill most living things?
Well, yeah. But the important thing, I think, probably to focus on is that the cotton seeds actually did germinate.
Wait, so just so I'm clear, the cotton seeds that germinated were exposed to the atmosphere?
No, no.
So what's the point? Why don't, if they're in a kind of incubator, can't you just turn the heat up in the incubator and carry on with your life?
You've still got the radiation from the sun because there's no atmosphere on the moon to protect you. You still have to protect things. It's been in a weightless environment. And until you actually do it, you can't be 100% certain that it would happen. And none of the other seeds germinated, only these cotton seeds.
Right, but I'm just interested in, like, so really nothing's really germinated on the moon because it's been in a little case. So, it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean. But you've got to start somewhere, I guess.
Yep.
And, you know, this is the first time any people have landed something soft, made a soft landing on the far side of the moon.
Yeah, that's the cool part, for sure.
Yeah, so they haven't just soft landed. They've got a rover that travelled some distance from the lander at this stage. They're both in hibernation while they wait for the moon to go around the Earth a bit further and the sun comes back. Then they'll get activated and the rover will go off and find some whatever it can find. This will continue for a few more months or how many cycles the technology will allow and just see what they can see. But no one's been to the far side before. It's very difficult to do, as I said last time we were talking about this, where the moon's in the way, so you can't directly communicate with these the lander or the rover because the moon's in the way. So you have to have an orbiting satellite that's going around the moon that you can relay the communications through.
Right on.
Yeah.
Line of sight.
Now, New Horizons has resumed sending data back to Earth. How far away is New Horizons currently?
Well, it's at Ultima Thule, that Kuiper Belt object we talked about a couple of weeks ago. Mm. So that's well beyond Pluto. So you're talking at a couple of billion kilometres. The problem is it started sending the data and then it had to stop because the Earth, as it goes around the Sun, it's gone the opposite side, so the sun is between us and the spacecraft, and so when that happens, the sun emits radio signals, so it interferes with the signal from the spacecraft. So they had to wait a week or two for the sun to clear away. So they should have started the download again. I thought we would have had some more pictures by now. So whether it's just taking quite a while for the data to come down or whether
they're
pondering over what they're seeing, maybe they've seen some aliens, I really don't know.
I think it takes a while to chuck those photos through Photoshop and just sort of make them look real mint.
Probably help them with that, couldn't you?
Pump the production on them up a little bit, maybe. Space cat or something. Cool.
Yeah, so it'll be something that'll be down the track, but I thought there'd be some announcement, you know, with some detailed photos by now, but we just have to wait a bit longer and be a bit more patient. So it might happen tonight, I don't know.
Hey, interestingly, France is keen on sort of not polluting the atmosphere or the sky with light so people can have a bit more of a gaze over there. Is that a fact?
Well, in Europe and other parts of the world, like the United States and Asia, light pollution is extremely bad, and you can see this from space. There's various satellite pictures that show that. And France has now finally, they've actually come out with a national light pollution policy, which is absolutely amazingly advanced and progressive. Mm. It's all got to be started the first day of next year, 2020, and everything in the provisions have to be mandatory by the start of 2025.
What's so radical?
Well, for instance, all light trespass into dwellings is prohibited. So you can't have a street light shining into your bedroom window.
Well, no, right. So we're talking about, okay, carry on.
So regardless of its source, light trespass into dwellings is prohibited.
Nobody wants that, I don't think.
Nighttime lighting of waterways is mostly prohibited.
I think we're saving power as well with this.
Off the water and goes up into space.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Use of sky beams, lasers, and so on is generally prohibited. Curfew on lighting, outdoor lighting at night, depending on the application and the situation. The amount of light that goes into the night sky is proscribed, so it's about 1% of the total emission of a given fixture, a lamp, is allowed to go directly up into the sky.
It's interesting because I can see already there's going to be a balance between safety and this new law, and I wonder how that's going to clash with everyone.
Well, these provisions will generally improve safety.
Okay.
Because if you're reducing glare, in other words, the light that's going straight into your eyes, and putting the right light down where you need it, it actually makes for a safer environment.
Mm-hmm.
So 95% of the light emission has to be below or at or below 14.5 degrees from the horizontal, is one of the things they have. So they're quite specific and pretty amazingly direct.
Yeah.
As far as what you can have and what you can't. There's not a lot of wiggle room.
Did they have a blueprint to work off? Is anyone else this gnarly with their applications of light pollution rules?
I can't really answer that. I know that there are some other countries that have similar types of provisions, but I don't know about them enough to say, you know, a comparison.
All right.
Yeah, sorry about that.
No, that's all good. Now,
I mean, it's certainly well in advance of what we have in New Zealand.
Yeah, of course.
I've just updated my scorebook, and I've got another one on you there, David, so I'll just put a little mark there. Thank you, mate.
Now, David, what's happening at the Stardome?
A few things. We're in the second week of the school holiday, so our Dinosaurs Rock holiday program's got 3 more days to run. That's at 10 o'clock... 1 o'clock and 2 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 12 o'clock and 1 o'clock. It's about dinosaurs and the asteroid that that wiped not just the dinosaurs, but a lot of other life on Earth out. So that's the focus of the holiday program. Next week, we're back to daytime shows. There are 10, 11, 1 and 2 o'clock, different shows for each of those times. So there are public daytime shows just for next week, and then we're back to school programs the week after that. One special show that we've got coming up on the 29th of January is Celestial Navigation. So that's on a Tuesday night. So instead of our rock music evening, we have Celestial Navigation. People can learn about how to use the stars to find their way around, find your direction, and basically not get lost at night.
Nice one. All right. Thank you very much, David. It looks like that wraps up another edition of Spaced Out. And once again, thank you very much. And everyone, head along to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium in Wantree Hill there.
Look forward to seeing everyone.
Sweet.
See you guys there too sometime soon.
We have to get along. We definitely have to get along.
Yeah. We'll see if we can organise that.
Let me know when the next Pink Floyd situation is happening. That's my buzz.
Right, yeah.
Cheers, mate.
Bye-bye.
Control, we are docked. That was Spaced Out on 95 BFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.